Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
So let's take our anchor scriptures, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Our second reading will be Romans chapter 4, 16 to 21. Romans chapter 4. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end of the promise, might be sure to all the seeds, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Let's continue. As it is written, I may be a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and called those things which be not as though they ought they were. Verse 18. Who against hope believed in hope. Now, if you have the hard copy Bible or using a soft copy, I want you to highlight that, please. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He started not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. The last verse. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to what? Hallelujah. Can we take our last reading, Mark 11, 19 to 24? Mark chapter 11. And when evening was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. We've already used this scripture before, but it's also fitting to today's purpose. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. Verse 22. And Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. The actual translation is, have the God kind of what? Faith. And I told that the God kind of faith is what we have been discussing as what? The subjective faith. We have been talking about individually, what we have individually, so we call it subjective faith. And Paul already established that the life we live is the life of what? Faith. Let's continue. Verse 22. 23. For verily I say unto you, that whatsoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. Last verse. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Hallelujah. We are still on the elements that comes together to form the compound called faith. And by the grace of God, we are looking at the last aspect of it today. And this is our anchor scriptures. Today we are taking the last aspect, which is called the expected outcome. There's an element of faith which is called the expected outcome. And whenever we look into the various elements of faith, we cannot do without this. Can we take a word of prayer? Father, we thank you this morning. We bless you, Lord. We give you all the praise and honor as your word cometh unto us. We pray that your word will be established in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. We are still on the subject faith for quite some time now. Faith is practically the life we live. So we can never exhaust the topic faith. We can never exhaust it. When we want to teach faith, faith can be taught till Christ comes. Because Paul said, for the life we live is of the life of faith. I hope you remember that scripture, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. He said, though I live, and not I live, but Christ who lives. And the life that I live, it is what? The life of Christ. That is true of faith in Christ Jesus. So, Abraham, the name of that life is called the life of faith. And therefore, if heaven is going to consider you that you are being a Christian who is living up to expectation, one of the key things, or the very key thing that is expected of you, is the life of faith. In Hebrews chapter 1, the verse 12 says, by these the elders obtain good reports. So the report that heaven gives about the average believer is a life of faith. So if you can live any kind of life on this earth, it doesn't matter. What heaven counts on is what? It's faith. And I told you that there are three things that only that merits the attention of heaven. One is what? Faith. Second is what? Hope. And the third is what? Love. If anything you do as a believer is not done or is not premised on these three key things, then you have worked in vain. So anything that will score in heaven for us, for our good, should be either faith, should either be hope, or should be love. But we know that the life actually we live is a life of what? Faith. So we came into the various elements that come together to form what we call faith. We know that faith is the very substance of the unseen things. It's the substance, the tangibility of the unseen things. Why is it so? Remember that in our previous lesson or in our previous messages, we established that God lives in the realm called eternity. And we live in the realm called time. Though when Adam was created, there was no separation between eternity and time until Adam fell. So when Adam fell, time and eternity was separated. Hence, God lives in time. The Bible says, for God is spirit. So God lives in eternity, which is also called the spirit realm. And everything of God is captured in his realm. However, God wants us to benefit or have full access to whatever is in his realm. And now that we have been disconnected from his realm, the only mechanism he made available for us to reconnect to his realm and receive from him and also communicate with him is what we call faith. So therefore, faith gives substance to the unseen realm, or the things of what? The unseen realm. We started with the various substances. I just want to mention them quickly. Number one, we said that the first element of faith is what? Hearing. For there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of God giveth us understanding. For the entrance of thy word giveth us light, and it giveth us understanding. So faith starts with what? Hearing us God. So our first journey into faith is our ability to what? Hear God. And when we talk of hearing God, it is what God is saying now. Hallelujah. Then we say from there we move on to what? Seeing the what? Unseen realm or the unseen things. We establish that when the word comes, the work of the word is to give us what? Light. Give us what? So it causes what? Understanding. We say that the eyes of the spirit is called what? Understanding. So for us to be able to see the things of the unseen realm, the first thing is that we need light, which is the word of God. And when that comes, it comes to illuminate our spiritual eyes called understanding. And therefore, we begin to see the unseen realm. Now, the evidence that somebody is seeing the things of the unseen realm is that person's eternity outweighs what? Time dimension. What am I trying to say? If somebody begins to have an encounter with the things of the unseen, that person begins to detach him or herself from the things of the world. So when you are born again, there are certain things of the world you take so much delight in them. But as you begin to grow in God and to come into knowledge of the things of God, as your understanding begins to grow, the more light is shed on you. Nobody will tell you that you cannot do this or that as a result of the realm in which you have found yourself. They will say that, well, when we come to see the unseen things, the next thing is that we come into terms and conditions to how these things are operated or used, or how things are transacted. And that is what you call relationship. The Bible says, how can two walk unless they ought? They agree. So we have to come to a point where we agree with God with the terms and conditions to how things are done in the spirit for them to materialize on the earth. These are the three components. When these three things find its place together, we enter into what we call open heavens. So if you can hear God, see the unseen things, and come to terms with God, you open up your heavens. Now, when we have an open heaven, what happens? We need to act on certain instructions to make the open heavens what? Reality. So we come to what? Faith is what? An act. The instructions to the things that God wants to do in your life, we need to act on them. Above all, we need to have what? An absolute what? Trust in God. God's what? Ability and what? Willingness what? To do. So it is not enough to believe that God can do. You have to believe that He will what? This brings us to the last one. The expected outcome. First of all, faith always results in an expected outcome. Faith always results in an expected. Therefore, the last element we are looking at to complete that whole faith equation is what? An expected outcome. What am I trying to say? There cannot be faith without an expectation. Why? Because we are believing things of the unseen realm, right? To materialize in the earth realm. So actually, the whole journey of faith is as a result of certain things are in the unseen realm, which we have to have hold of them. So we are expecting something. That is why we are living the life of faith. In the definition of faith, I follow you. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So faith cannot be complete without an expected result. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we project the Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1? Let's take it from there. Now, the concept expected outcome is clearly captured in the definition of what faith. What is the definition of faith? Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. Let's check. Let's go together. Huh? Now, faith is what? Substance of faith is the what? The evidence of things not what? Therefore, if you look at this very definition of faith, the expected outcome is what we call things hoped for. So practically today, we are going to look at what? Things hoped for. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, in the definition of faith, according to the Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, faith gives substance to things we hope for. Hence, faith only goes to work when there are things to hope for. Let's say, faith is what? The substance of what? Things what? In other words, if there are no things to hope for, faith cannot be what? So, faith is set into action when there are things to what? Hope for. So that is why the expected outcome completes the faith equation. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So the faith is because we are hoping for something. And that thing we are hoping for is only possible when there is substance for it. And that substance is what? Faith. In other words, the resultant effect of faith active is what? Things hoped for. The second definition contributes to that, the evidence of things what? Unseen. In other words, expected outcome are the things that are what? Not seen. They are immaterial things. Therefore, immaterial things can also be called things hoped for because they are unseen. Do you really get what I'm trying to say? Hello?
Hi.
Okay, so now we have to look at the meaning and then we have to explain this concept. It's a very deep concept, things hope for. We have to explain it. And that's what we're going to be doing today. I want you to follow me very well. I'm trying to put myself together because I've been a little distracted. Now, how do we explain the concept of things hope for? Now, if you check the Greek word used as hope for, you can write it down. That word is called elpizio. E-L-P-I-Z-O. Elpizio. It was derived from the word elpis. They are all Greek words. And this elpis means to expect or to what? Confine. So if you want to take away things hoped for, we can now define faith as faith is the substance of things expected. Do you get it now? Now, what about the expect? I decided to read other versions of the Bible to find another interpretation to the word things will fall. And if you read the Passion Translation said that the things will fall is also things longed for. Are you following? We are coming to a point. Things was longed for. So the Passion Translation said that now faith is the substance of things was longed for. Hallelujah. And the Greek word over there is what? Elpis, which means what? Expect. So I decided to find the dictionary meaning of the word expect to be able to establish the point they want you to do. Are you following? You get to what I'm trying to say here. Number one, the first thing I found about the word expect means to predict or believe that something will happen. And the various synonyms that were given are anticipate, hope, or look for. So this word anticipate, predict, hope for can all fit into this very sentence. Number two, I also found that it also defined as to consider obligatory or required. So expect can be something what? Obligatory or required. So to demand something from somebody is a synonym to this aspect. So I demanded or I expected this from you. Hello?
Hi.
I hope you get what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
Now, we say that the resultant effect of faith is what? Things hoped for. These things hoped for, we are trying to find the meaning of these things. First of all, we found the Greek word which was translated things hoped for. And it is called elpizio, which is taken from the word elpis, which means what? Expect. Or what? Confined. In the matter of our discussion, the expect fit into our matter. So we decided to find the definition of expect. That is what I'm working on. I hope you are following. We will come to our main thing, but I want to just give you certain clarity here. All right. Number three. Another definition for expect is to consider reasonably or due. To consider reasonably or due. Synonym to this is also hope, want, or wish. In other words, now faith is the substance of things wished for. Are we there? Are we there? Good. I like it. You're following. So, if we look at all these very things together, okay, we can establish that the things we hope for can also be called things desired for. Because the word desire, okay, is the bedrock of all things that we wish or we expect. In other words, now faith is the substance of things desired. If we are able to get this understanding, then it can establish our point, the expected outcome. Why am I talking about this very well? Most of the times in our journey of faith, we always miss the point, the expected outcome. Things hope, faith is the substance of things hope for. What is this things hope for? It is desired. Now, what we continue, we're going to find out that actually the word hope means desire. The actual Greek translation of the word hope means desire. Or wish. And I hope that wish and desire are the same word. Synonymously, they are the same thing. All right. Therefore, we can establish that now faith is the substance of things what desire. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, I am going to take our first scripture to establish this principle, expected outcome. In the teachings of Jesus on the subject of faith in the book of Mark chapter 11, we found out that Jesus brought up this very concept. How this God kind of, we can go to Mark chapter 11. Let's go to the verse 19. Let's go, verse 19. Or verse, let's start from verse 20. Let's see something. 21. And Peter, calling to remember, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree we without curse is what? Withered away. Now, Jesus wanted to teach a concept, but he gave the theme, or let me say the principle, the concept he wanted to teach them, how this thing died. Jesus cursed a fig tree on their return back from their journey. They found out that the fig tree has what? Died. And Peter marveled that what was the mechanism by which my master was able to accomplish this task. Then Jesus now went on to answer Peter in verse 22. What did he say to him? And Jesus answered unto him, how this God kind of what? Faith. Have faith in God. It means that Jesus was able to accomplish that on the premises of what? Faith. That was not enough. Jesus decided to explain this God kind of faith in its place of action. Hello? So this is the concept. Now we're going to look at the principle behind it. Let's do that. Yeah? Verse 23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be moved, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he has said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he wants, he saying. Now, the principle is this. Therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever thing you want, I follow what I want to teach you. Whatsoever thing you want, when you want, believe that he shall want. So Jesus was sitting on faith, and he started to tell them that he desired that fig tree would die and wither. And the principle was that he applied what we call faith. So whatsoever thing you desire. So faith is the substance of things what hope for. It's buried on this principle. So Jesus, in the expression of his faith, just not declared. And now he's teaching Peter and other people that whatsoever thing you want, you hope for, because of the premises of faith, is how it comes to pass. Now, this very thing has been a very controversial scripture, because people have prayed on many desires. And those desires have never materialized. We said, we are walking in faith. You know the people say, I had faith for what? The 6 eggs. I had faith that this thing will work. I applied faith. Because the person was expecting an outcome, was hoping for something, had a desire for something. Even on the premise of this scripture, the person should have gotten it. Yet still. So the question is, this desire, or this expected outcome, or this hope for, what exactly was Jesus trying to say over here? Give me the book of James, chapter 4, verse 3. Let's look at something here. Now, are you following? Jesus was teaching them faith, right? And he told them that whenever you desire something in prayer, right? You know that they believe. You remember the elements of faith? Did you see all of them listed about them? Believe, you shall receive them. Are you following? Jesus said that whatsoever thing we desire, when we pray, are you following? We shall receive. And he made mention of this thing as a result of our teachings on what? Faith. But let's look at what happens to say. I want to say what? You want? Please, church, are you with me? I want you to be with me. He said, you want? And receive not. Is that what it is? Because he asked what? This is where the controversy is being settled. Faith says that whatsoever we desire, what we ask, when we pray, we shall what? Receive. Believe and we shall what? Receive. But James was saying that no, you can ask or pray for something and you what? You will miss it. So what Jesus said over there had an exact, it was defined to certain principles. It was not an open technique. Sometimes when we read scriptures in the Bible, we want to put in our personal interpretation. Do you know why I'm saying this? Many people think that when we are there and we desire something, we can just go ahead and begin to pray for them. Because the Bible says that whatsoever we all believe, when we ask, we shall receive them. No! So see, many believers are saying that they are exercising their faith. Oh, I'm believing God for a brand new car. So I'm exercising my faith. I'm going to prayer. I'm sowing seed. I'm doing this. And you find out that they'll do this for many years and it will fail them. Then they begin to question that, was the word of God true or not? Yes, the word of God was true. But what was the defined principle unto which Jesus said that whatsoever ye desire? That is the very expected outcome of faith. Now find out why it will be said that he may consume it upon your last. So what Jesus was trying to teach is that any desire that is free from the grapes of lust will fall into the principle of Mark chapter 11 verse 4. Hallelujah. Therefore, it means that not all desires, not all hope for, not all things that we hope for, falls within the categories of things of faith. Do you establish it? Now, we have to help many people in the church to know how to channel their right expected outcome. Because the expected outcome, it is not based on your lust. When we talk about lust, take your mind from fornication. Some of us, our mind, the moment you say lust, our mind is going. No. We have the lust of the spirit, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the soul. Hallelujah. So do you understand what I'm trying to establish here? So the question is, what are these things hope for? What are they? These desires that Jesus said that when we desire in prayer, it's like, what are they? Because God said that you can ask and you will miss it. When it is on the premise of what? So I want to let you know that the provisions that was made for desires is excluding things of what? Lust. Yes, as long as what you are desiring is not on the premise of your lust of your flesh or the lust of your eyes, or the pride of life, I can guarantee that when you have that God kind of faith, oh Jesus, it will be established. So not all desires are receivable. Not all desires are receivable, except it is free from the influence of what? Lust. Now let's look at the misconception of hope. I'm still doing expected what? Outcome. I'm still dealing with what? Expected what? Because we have been claiming that we walk in faith and we are believing God for things to happen, the question is, what has been the definition of this thing we have already established? That these desires must be free from what? Lust. So now I want to see that. So what have we got wrong with this whole hope for faith? Are you following? Now I thought that this thing's hope for is also called the expected outcome. So why are we getting it wrong? The misconception. Now we are coming to resolve it. Says that henceforth we can have the complete picture of what? Faith at work. To start with, the first thing I want to say is that hope is a desire. A wish to see something what? Materialized. Hope is a desire. Wish. When you wish to see something to happen, that very thing is called what? Hope. Hallelujah. So, hope is the fuel that brings to pass our dreams, our visions, our aspirations. It's hope. It fuels it. The desire that, you see, the things that we want to come to pass, I'm talking about things to come to what, to be materialistic, to have a material form of the thing. It is hope. So if you look at the definition of it, faith is what? Substance of what? Things what? Things what? Hope for. So the faith is what gives substance to those immaterial things. But we want to resolve the misconception. But first, I want to explain the concept of hope to you. So hope is what? A desire. Or a wish. I wish above all things. So you know that God didn't have hope. I wish above all things. Like that was Paul talking. He had a certain faith, hope. Hallelujah. Are you following? So hope, but When hope is alive, our visions, our dreams, and everything. So if you see somebody giving up on their dreams, they have no hope anymore. How many of you have ever experienced that before? That you had a very big dream up to do something. Yes. Some of you wanted to be medical doctors. Hallelujah. Amen. Some of you were dreaming of being in some places by this time of the year. Hallelujah. The Bible said, oh. It's what makes the heart sick. Hope was deferred. Some of your hope have deferred. It has deferred the cause. So your heart is sick. So hope is a desire. That desire, that, see, so no matter what the person is going to, cause of that desire over there to get something that they can see, which you are not seeing. People have hope. Especially our sisters, they have hope. They can have hope that somebody who is an abuser can change. So it doesn't matter how much this abuser is beating them, they will stay. Oh, when I marry him, you change. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we are going to look at the misconception of hope. So I'm defining the entire thing about hope. Hallelujah. However, the things of God do not run on our hope, but in his hope. Having defined hope to you as a desire means that we can have the desire of what? Men. And then the desire of what? God. Hope. If you are very careful about scriptures, you'll find out that men can do this based on their hope or the hope of God. So faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's not the things that is of you, your hope, but his what? His hope. And that takes me to our second reading, Romans, the chapter 4, the verse 18. Let's see something there. Read, come read again. Who was against hope? Believe in us. Do you like this verse? So I told you that the misconception about hoped for or expected outcome desire is here. This is talking about Abraham. Now, before we come up to this, take me to Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Let's go something about it. Romans 15, 13. Good. Now, the hope, the God of what? The God of what? Fills on you with what? All joy and peace in what? Believing. That he may abound in what? That phrase one means what? Grow in hope. So there is a God of what? Hope. Fill you with what? Joy. That you abound in his what? In hope. So it is the hope of God that makes us hopeful. Hallelujah. Amen. That we know that whatever God desires, it is. It can't fail. Whatever God have in mind that he will do. In Jeremiah chapter 3, it says, I alone know the thought I have about yours. The God of hope. So the hope we are talking about here is not your hope. We can have hope in people. We can have hope in systems. If you were a student in Ghana some past 2 years ago, you would have believed that the system of Ghana is not going to allow you to go to school for 4 years. But I believe that by now you know that your life, as you have planned, your hope has deferred. Because some of you stayed home for what, 1 year, and your academic calendar has what? Change. So some of us, we place our desires in systems. Oh, I have an uncle who can do this for us. Oh, so your desire is there. But the hope we are talking about in terms of faith, expected outcome, is not in your hope, but in his what? His hope. So let's go back to Abraham. Expected what? hope, believed in what? Hope. That he might become the father of what? Many what? Nations. According to that which was what? Spoken. First thing about faith. So shall thy seed what? Verse 19. And be not weak in faith. Ah, Jesus. He considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of what Sarah's was. Now let me explain the first scripture. Expected outcome. When we are walking in faith, the things we expect to materialize as a result of the life of faith is not what we want. It is what he wants. So in the life of Abraham, when God told him that I'll make you father of what? Many nations, of the nations. Abraham had that hope in God. Because when God called him at that time, his hope was alive because he was 70. And at that time, he had what it takes, the power to deliver. But it got to a point that hope died. The hope of man hangs around circumstances and systems. And the moment that circumstances and systems fail, the hope is what? Defend. So if you remember the first verse, the God of hope will fill you with all joy. That you are bound in what? Hope. Abound is what? You will be full. Overflow. It means that there's a supply to your hope. So in the system of man, the hope funnel or the hope carrier is being what filled by God of hope. So this is the difference between the believer and an unbeliever, is that your hope is subjected to systems and it can fail as time lapses. But the believer's hope is always fresh because there's a supply of hope upon what? Hope. So when Abraham was 100 years, God still told him, you will give birth. And the Bible says he hoped against what? Hope. Which one is that? Which is which? It means that the first hope was the hope of God against his hope. Because as at that time, the hope was this, in terms of flesh. The Bible says when the angel of God, when God appeared in Sarah, he told a year by this, the Bible says Sarah laughed. And God asked her, why did you say I didn't laugh? Sarah laughed because it was not possible. But the Bible says that Abraham hoped against what? Hope. And the Bible says, verse 19, calling God by faith, and be not weak in what? Faith. So I told you that the fuel for whatever God will do for us is on the expected outcome. And this chapter was talking about the faith of Abraham. Hope against hope. The question is, where is your hope? What are the things that are holding you? You believe that you can complete school because your father has money. Is that not it? Oh, you believe that you are going to marry because you are having a good relationship, right? The reason why many Christians are failing in life is because their hope, their faith is not in the hope against hope. Their expected outcome, which is, I hope you get it. Oh, Jesus. The expected outcome, it is not built upon the systems of God. The desire they are praying through is not on the hope of God. It is in their own hope. The Bible says, for chariots and horses are prepared for battle. But victory, the thing is, you don't know tomorrow, so how can your hope secure your tomorrow for you? So the element of faith that keeps you moving is the hope against what? Hope. That our desire is not the desire that men are desiring. It is free from the lust of man. So I am getting married, not because I am of age, but because God has said so. So Abraham hope against hope, believing on what God has said. The question is, are you living your life? What you are pursuing, are you pursuing because of what God said? Or what do you think? Hallelujah. Are you following? Hello? Are you following? So God wants us to have an expected what? Outcome. Success of things hoped for. But this hope for should not be in you what you think you have. Do you know why many miracles and we can't see the move of God in the church anymore? Do you know why? Because our hope is not in what God has said. Our desire, what is fueling what we are doing, is not in what God has said. If not, you will not give up because you didn't receive that miracle. Some people have stopped attending church because they didn't get certain things. Hallelujah. The Bible says Abraham hoped against what? Hope. I pray for you that may your hope be against the hope. May you have the hope of God at work in you. The Bible says that the hope of God will be full in you. When we started looking at on the add-ons of faith, you understand the principle of hope. The Bible says through hope and patience receive the promises of God. And this hope is not the hope of men, but the hope of God. I pray for you that your hope, you will not have a wrong misconception thinking that because you believe in this system A, B, and C, and you see things that are going to happen to you. No. When our expected outcome is the same as God's expected outcome, then our desire is the same as his desires. The principle of Mark chapter 11 verse 24 is that when our expected outcome is the same as God's expected outcome, then our desire will be the same as the desire of God. In the account of Exodus, God told Moses that Moses built a tabernacle for me. The expected outcome was what? A tabernacle. But God was of the specification. There are many things that we are expecting to receive in life. Some of us want to receive certain great things in life. I know that we have desires to marry. We have, but do you know the specifications to which the things you are expecting to happen to you is of heaven? The Bible said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not his will be done as it is on earth. And we want God to do something, or want to do something for God, that we must do it according to his own expected outcome. So there was a man called David who said, I will build a temple for God. God never told David to build a temple for him. But this man wanted to build a temple for him because he had a desire that he wanted to have a temple for God. And the Bible said that God told him that, yes, I agree to that, but I will give you the specification for the temple. So I remember that Solomon was given the entire blueprint of the temple he had to build. And the Bible said, when the temple was fully built, and on the day of dedication, the glory of God came down. Why is our life not attracting glory? It's because our expected outcome is different from the expected outcome of God. So the believer is walking in faith, but there are two different views over him. I pray for you that your life will be full of glory, not because you are praying, but because your desire and the desire of God is the same. We are entering into times and seasons that we say, let this be, and it will be like the days of Elijah, who will command rain and it will rain, who will shut the heavens and it will shut, because the desire which is fueling this is not the man's desire. So the Bible said, when did Moses have built the tabernacle according to the plans to which God wanted the tabernacle to be, the glory of God came down. What are the things you are hoping for? Hallelujah. Amen. John chapter 10 verse 8. The life of Jesus was defined on one scripture. John chapter 10 verse 8. What did Jesus say? Let's go together. Eh? I and my Father are what? Now this was the reason, because they started asking questions who he was. looking at the potency and the display of power in the life of Jesus, the miracles, the teachings, and everything he was doing, he needed to defend himself as to how he was able to do these things. And he told them that the reason why you see these things happening is because I and the Father, we are one. Because it means that the thinking of the Father is not different from my thinking, not that the desire is different from my desire. So in the book of John chapter 7, he said, I pray that they will be one. Even as you were one. That we will be one. Jesus said that if I abide in you, and you abide in me, then whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, I will do it. We want God to do things for us, but the principle is that until our desire, and this desire is one, whatsoever things we ask will not be answered. Because there are lies all around our life. Our lives are built on the premises of lust. But the moment we begin to allow God to have his way in our life, and we become one with him, then our desire becomes his desire. So please stop claiming certain scriptures when you don't know the principles upon which they operate. Whatsoever thing you ask in my name, ask the Father in my name, you what? Because I am in you and you are us. Can you lift up your voice and tell God this morning that Father, I have your place in my life. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope for are the things we desire. And we know that faith, the resultant effect of faith, is the expected outcome. How can this be that we can bring forth the things of the Spirit up into the earth realm and make it a reality if our desire is not the same as the desire of God? And how can it be that the things of the Spirit will be seen here? The Bible says, for he has taken unto us all glory and riches and wisdom and power. And it looks like the church is lacking wisdom. It looks like the church is not glorious. It looks like the church is poor. But these things are stored in the Spirit realm. How do we bring them down? He said that if I am in you, and you are in me, then your desire will be my desire. So you are going to see the expected outcome that I want it on this earth. For all you know, God expected outcome for your life is that you will be so and so. And it is he that can tell you where he wants to take you. But when we become one with God, glory is him. When we become one with God, glory is him. So if we want to fully operate in Mark chapter 11 verse 24, today I'm giving you the underlying principle. Whatsoever you desire, it can be the things you desire for the purpose of lust. You want God to take you to America so they can call people and tell them that you're a bugger. Huh? Or you are thinking that God is... You see, this is the problem. You are thinking that all that God is doing in our life is because of what we want to be. Hope for. How don't you become a medical doctor? Huh? Do you even know why God is pushing you there? That is why many people have become frustrated medical doctors. If any man, the thing is that God wanted you to be a medical doctor, but the expected outcome has changed. Because you think that you're a medical doctor to make money into your pocket. Whereas God is making a medical doctor that all those who are sick who will come to you there, they will receive Christ. So there are people who went in the hospital and they met the likes of Bishop Dak, met the likes of Archbishop Duncan Williams, who was a rascal, who didn't even know God, had an accident or came to a hospital and the nurse who treated him started to share Christ with him. See the result. So the expected outcome of that woman's life was to be a health practitioner. And what God wanted to do, but some of you because all you are thinking is your market. So you are fasting and praying, oh God, let me get access to the medical school. Because you want more money. Is your desire his desire? So, our expected outcome, the things hoped for in faith, are not the things that you desire to satisfy your lust. They are things that you desire to establish the kingdom of God. If our desires are going to channel by by establishing the kingdom of God, then you will see that the things we hope for will materialize. I want to use our elder Blaise as an example here. He came to Accra here to work as a nurse. But when he went to the hospital, he started winning souls. His desire was not to make money, but his desire was to reach out to soul. And you know that somebody from somewhere met him. There are millions of people who have worked in that hospital. Why did they make you in charge? Somebody who just worked in Accra for how many months has been made in charge of somebody's company, where the person who recommended him to that place is now under him. Do you know why your promotion is delayed? Do you know why you are not receiving what God, you are not going out fast, how God wants you to go? It's because the reason why you are there, the expected outcome, is different from what God wants you to do. Your desire, the things you are hoping for, I always say that any faith that is not premised on what God wants to do is covetousness. So because God don't want us to hope for things he has not already asked us to hope for, all the other element of faith is towards or is targeting you having the right hope. That's why God will speak to you first. When God speaks to you, you receive light. He starts to show you things that you have to see. So God, I remember God asking a man called Jeremiah, what do you see? He said, I saw an armor. I said, you've seen war. Because have you seen your life war? Are you still in doubt on what God wants to do with your life? Have you heard God? I'm giving you the reason why the things we are hoping for is different from the things that God wants us to hope. It's first of all, we don't even hear him. Not to talk of seeing what he wants us to see. And some of us, when we see what we want to see, we want to get them on our own terms. There are many people that saw that God gave them a very glorious marriage, but they wanted to establish the marriage on their own terms. The dreams you have is not false. It's not false. God intended to do that. The reason is that you are not ready for the terms and conditions to how that will be done. And to talk about it, the instructions are located to the things God has shown you. You want to come. And I've seen Christian generation where we always want to skip steps. Oh, see, technology may affect the Bible. Tell your colleague, technology. Tell the person who said, technology didn't affect the word of God. If it took Abraham 10 years to get what he had, God will not do it. God will not skip it because it is you. The Bible said he's not the respecter of persons. The system, if it is 10 years, you know that God can compress things, but you not skip it for you. So you have a generation who think that we can sow seed to receive anointing. We have a generation who believe that we can give big money to a man of God and then we get our breakthrough. So when you say, let's fast and pray, as an instruction to the things that God has shown you, so no, me, I'll sow seed. I'll give Pastor Milo and then drink him. He will fast for us. So you see that many things that the believer is believing God to receive is not able to get it. Because number one, we skip the word, we skip what we don't even see the unseen, and even if we see it, we want to skip the instructions to it. And the worst part is that our trust in God has alternatives. Oh, God will do it, but it's working wisdom. Our confidence in God is never absolute. I'm summarizing everything. Our confidence in God is not absolute. Like the three Hebrew men who said, we know that our God is able to what? To save us from us, and he will what? Do it. But if he decide not to do it, we don't have any other alternative. That's why when the believer is in difficult times, it is, he don't justify, I don't use the word spirit, but Don't justify what you are doing as there is no way out. I remember someone was sharing something with me that, a sister was caught fornicating. I listened to me, and as she came to church, nobody was able to help her. She was, and this was the man who said, well, and the man demanded and everything. The question is, you know that what you are doing is wrong. Why are you doing it? Because you have an alternative to God. Somebody said, now, see, when your faith in God is not to the point where even if God has not willed to die for you, you are not yet there. Christians who serve God on conditions and terms. God, if you don't give me this, I don't come to church. So our absolute confidence and trust is not in God. When all these things have been missed, you see that our expected outcome, the things we hope for, is different from the things that God wants us to hope for. So I pray for you that may God work on your desires by speaking to you. May you be ready to go. See, one of the things that God has to deal with in this generation is our lust. Our lust. Jesus said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, for you care about the things of men, but not the things of God. Our lust is so strong that most of the things we do in church is because it's hard to satisfy us. So I'll play keyboard because I'll be paid in that church. I'm doing something because there's something out of it. We care so much about the interest of men than the things of God. Nobody is willing to sacrifice. When we went to this crusade, I was telling one of our prayers, I was telling that blessing, that the man of God, I pity him a lot. Because practically he was doing everything by himself. But if we had gone there with money, that for every one poster you get 5 cities, I tell you, you know, even if we brought 1 million posters, it would be pasted in the same thing. We are so mindful, our last, so we are mindful of the things of us than the things of God. So the things that we hope for is not what God wants us to hope for. So we fast and pray for visa, whereas God wants us to fast and pray for revival. We fast more and pray for prosperity, which is not wrong. Whereas God wants us to wait on Him that He will release us into a realm of consecration. I pray that God will help us. God will help us. So our expected outcome will be that of what God wants us to have. The Bible says Abraham hoped against hope, that even when he was weak in flesh, oh, he knew that what God has said will come to pass. I pray for you. Anything that God has said to you concerning your life, hold on to the hope of God, not your hope. Yes, your flesh may be failing. Yet you have tried and it didn't work. But I'm here to tell you that the Bible said in His own time, He makes all things beautiful. Anything that God has said to you and God has promised you, it will not fail. If Abraham's life was not a failure, then I'm here to tell you that don't give up on God. It is too painful, it is costly to give up on God than to trust Him that He will do it. So the Bible said, Abraham hoped against God hope. I pray that your hope will be in the hope of God, and that you'll be full of the joy of God, that you are bound in the hope of God, so that the things that we hope for are the things that God wants us to hope for. The things of the unseen realm, which is not surrounded by the lust of men, but it is the desires of God. May God help us. Can we be on our feet? What do we pray? That God will help us to live the life of faith. God will help us to live the life of faith. The life of faith is simple. Hear what God is saying and see what He wants you to see, and not coming into terms and conditions with what the things are showing you to see. And being so, You begin to apply to the terms and conditions that is acting on the word of God. Living a life of faithfulness. And absolutely believe in God. Total trust in Him. That what He has said, He will do it. If we do so, we will see the expected thing. We will see the expected thing. Can we lift up our voice? Lord, help us. That we will live a life of faith. A good report will be presented about us. A good report will be presented about us. In the mighty name of Jesus. A good report will be presented about us. Oh, Father, we thank you. Oh, Father, we thank you.
Glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now.